Hello, I am your host, Ogre, and this is the Local Music Revolution. I have a different show for you tonight. This show features an interview with a V-Town Derby darling. Her name is Activist, and I'm pretty sure that she could take better hits than I could. We go through how she came up with her name and her number, how awesome all of the Derby ladies are before, during, and after the games, how awesome the V-Town sponsors are, and how the Derby is played. I've known Activist since high school. Activist is not her real name, of course. It's her alter ego. But she was nice enough to put off going to the gym after practice for an hour to talk to me about the game. Seriously though, guys, if you haven't seen the V-Town Derby Dames, you are missing out. They are very, very cool. The game itself is very fun to see. I'm doing my best to try to make it to as many of the games as I can. And you also heard that they have the after parties where you can meet and hang out with all of the girls. They are very, very personable, very easy to talk to, and will joke around with you and have a beer with you. It is a very fun event. They are all very welcoming, and I would suggest anybody to go to that and hang out and have some fun. Now to the show. Number 1.34, that is pie, because pie is awesome. This is Activist. And I'm here with Activists. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. Just got home from practice. How are you?
I'm all right.
Right on.
Yeah, it's a decent night. So, firstly, where'd you get the name Activist? Activist.
Okay, so I am a female rights activist with a V, and I was trying to come up with a derby name, which is really hard, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding. You guys are crazy with that kind of stuff.
We have some good names on our team. We have who do we have? We have Mia Love You Long Time. That's a good one.
Is she Asian?
She,
though?
Of course.
Okay, because it's weird if she wasn't.
Yeah.
It's not okay.
And then we have some that aren't so. We have like Bergie Knights, like Boogie Knights. Yeah. But our last name is Berg, so Bergie Knights.
Yeah. And what's Booma?
What's Booma?
Yeah,
Booma's like, an awesome blocker on our dames on our A team.
Yeah, but where'd she get the name? Do you know?
That's her last name. Her last name is Booma.
Really?
So her derby name is Booma.
All right. So you are an activist. What do you actively activize in?
Okay. So I'm on the board for Act for Women and Girls in Visalia.
Visalia, California, by
yes.
the way.
Yes. Which is, I'm going to say, the only feminist, women's rights, reproductive justice organization in this county. So I'm a very strong female activist, and I was trying to come up with a derby name that means something to me.
All right.
And to make it a little bit more dangerous, I changed it to Activist with... Like, I'm going to punch you with my fist.
Yeah.
It's a little play on words there.
So, your number is 314. Yes. Why did you choose the number for pi?
Because pi's an amazing number.
Yeah, but it's a million strong, and it takes a really long time.
I couldn't fit all of them on my shirt, and I also have to write my numbers on the side of my arm. And three numbers, as it is hard enough to fit on my arm.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, you got skinny little arms.
Yeah.
You're tiny as shit.
Yeah.
Alright, so what do you do? You're on the Derby Darlings, which is
yes.
Is that the B team?
That's our
is
B it? Team.
Okay,
yes. So it's, think of it like a varsity junior varsity type deal.
Okay.
So we our league is called V Town Roller Derby.
Okay. Okay.
It used to be V-Town Derby Dames, but we're transitioning to V-Town Roller Derby to differentiate the Dames and Darlings because people were getting a little bit confused.
Okay.
All right. The umbrella term for our league is V-Town Roller Derby. Then we have our Derby Dames and our Derby Darlings. Dames is our A team. They're a WIFTDA team. Okay. So that means we get national rankings with WIFTDA. That's the Women's Flat Track Derby Association. It's nationwide.
And what is your ranking?
It's international, actually.
What is your ranking currently?
We just became a WIFTDA team. So we were an apprentice team for most of last year.
All right.
Now we're an actual WIFTDA team, but rankings have not come out yet. We actually just got done with a WIFTDA tournament in Bakersfield today. And we placed 5th in the tournament out of 10 teams.
Okay, so the difference is the junior varsity and the varsity. Do the Derby Darlings have national rankings, or is it just the Derby Dames?
There are a couple players. I think there might be a player or two on our Darlings roster that are on our WIFTDA roster.
Okay.
Because our WIFTDA roster has to be 20 players. They don't have to be 20 players from the A team. They could be 20 players from the league.
Yeah.
But that can only change a couple times during the year. If they're playing WIFTDA sanctioned bouts, they have to be on that WIFTDA roster.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And so your capacity within your team, what do you do? It's a jammer, right?
Yes, I'm a jammer on the Darlings. I've been playing for about a year and a half now.
Okay, can you describe what a jammer does?
Jammer is the point scorer. So you have... Okay, let's set up how you... Because Derby's very... different.
Derby is very different. There's
no rackets or balls, or you're just using your body.
Is it like tag? Please tell me it's like tag, because that's what
I guess the first you time. Can associate it that way. Like, people want to tag me with their body and knock me down.
I've only seen the Derby Dames twice.
Yes,
the second time was a couple Saturdays ago on your bout. And then it was like a year and a half, 2 years ago with my wife Maria's foster parents.
Nice.
And it was intense. I don't think I could do that. It's really intense. I saw you like hit your ass, and I was like, oh, that's going to hurt.
There's a lot of falling. There's a lot of ibuprofen involved, like the next day and icing. Yeah.
I don't know if that's okay.
So what you do, so starting off, both teams, on the track at a time, you have 5 players from each team.
Okay.
You have 4 blockers and 1 jammer from each team on the track at a time.
Okay.
You can tell the jammer is a jammer because they have a star panty on their helmet.
Yeah. Okay.
They wear a helmet cover. We call them panties.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That is greatness.
And then there's a pivot that is one of the blockers. They have a stripe on their helmet panty. And the pivot's job, they're like a captain on the track. So all the other blockers are listening to what the pivot is telling them to do.
Is it usually the girl yelling at the other ones?
Yes.
It like really
it
like harsh
be.
Insults
Ideally,
and everything?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of them. I laughed at a few of those comments.
But the cool thing about the pivot is, let's say the jammer is trying to break through the pack and they're struggling.
Yeah.
They can take off their jammer panty and pass it to the pivot. And the pivot can put it on and then become jammer. They cannot gain lead jammer status, but they can score points.
And that is awesome, right?
And that is only the pivot can do that. Only the pivot and the jammer can wear the jammer panty.
Wow. So how often do you guys do that?
I see it more often with the other teams. They see it becoming more common, but it's not something we actively practice.
Okay,
it's
so
it's not one of our main focuses as one of our strategy points. We strategize other ways.
Okay, so you're going around in a circle and or around the track.
Yes.
And the jammer, the jammer is getting the points. So what constitutes a point or 5 points, or how do the refs designate that?
Okay, so starting off, everybody starts off on the track. There's a jammer line and a pivot line.
Okay.
The jammer has to start off behind the jammer line, and the pack, which is like the accumulation of the blockers from both teams, can start off anywhere between the jammer and pivot line. They cannot go behind the jammer line, and they cannot go in front of the pivot line. But they normally right now, and Derby changes every year. There's different strategies being involved. But right now, the blockers usually line up on the jammer line, in front, right in front of the jammer line.
Okay.
And then whistle blows. Both jammers from each team are trying to get through the pack. So you have my... I'm jamming for my team. My blockers are trying to push the other blockers out of my way and get me through. The other team's blockers are trying to get their blocker through and stop me from getting through. Whichever jammer passes the pack first becomes lead jammer.
Okay.
Now, lead jammer is really important because that jammer can call off the jam.
Okay.
And they call off the jam by placing their hands on their hips.
Like, I'm sorry, when I first saw that, yes. I was like, is she saying suck it?
Yeah, kind
of.
It
was a whole DX thing from wrestling. And I thought it was amazing. And then Maria told me, she's like, no, that she's calling off the bout. I'm like, what? Like, that's a universal signal to, sticking your tongue out and going, screw you, I got the points.
Because a jam can last up to 2 minutes long. Wow. Unless the jammer calls it off early. So, like, let's say I'm going to strategize, and you don't earn any points on your initial pass. When you're first getting through the pack, that's your initial pass. You do not earn points until you start passing the pack again.
So you have to lap them once to start getting points?
Yes. Okay. And then after that, you earn a point for each blocker of the opposing team that you pass. If you lap the jammer, you can earn her points as well.
Earn her points?
Well, you can earn her points. So you can up to 5 points at a time.
Okay.
Four blockers and a jammer. But you're normally just
Okay, so is that 5 points for one round or 5 points per jam?
Each lap, each time you pass them. Only if you pass their jammer, and that doesn't happen too often. You're mostly just passing their blockers.
That's awesome.
And so let's say I've done my initial pass. I'm lead jammer. I pass through the pack again. The other jammers come up behind me. I can call off the jam to stop her from earning any points.
Okay.
But let's say I do a penalty and I backblock somebody and I run into them too hard and knock them over square in the back. That's a penalty. And I get sent to the box for 30 seconds for my penalty. So I get put in timeout. Now there's no lead jammer. That jam can go on for 2 minutes.
Do you retain the points that you had?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're not taken away. But can she become a lead jammer?
She cannot become lead jammer.
So once you are lead jammer, that's it. Yeah. There's no more. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So the penalty box, like, is that really a reprimand or is that a badge of honor?
No. Depends on who you ask, but really you want as many of your players on the track at a time as you can have, because let's say I'm jamming and half my blockers are in the penalty box, I have no one to help me out. Ooh. And I'm fighting against the other team's blockers.
So can you talk about there's this move that you guys do, it's kind of like a catapult move where one of the girls grabs you, the whip?
Yes.
Can you talk about that and, like, the function? Because that's actually a pretty cool move.
It is.
I've seen that get you, like, ahead of the pack really fast.
If you're really tired and you have a blocker that's good at whipping you, she sticks her arm out. You're both skating at a moderate pace. You grab her arm, and it's mostly the jammer pulling on the blocker, and the blocker is pulling on you simultaneously. So it really gives you a lot of momentum. Let's say I'm tired and I'm beat up and I can't move anymore and I get a whip, that can help me get through the pack and earn a couple more points.
Do you guys use that as a capacity to, like, get you through to start your first round?
No, because it's most useful if the pack's already moving. If the pack's at a standstill, a whip's not really going to get you moving very fast, but let's say the pack's moving.
Yeah.
That's going to give you a lot of momentum and some speed.
That's actually pretty nice. I like that move.
Yeah.
So, what does your practice consist of? I know it's pretty brutal out there on the track, but what do you guys, like, how do you guys...
I've seen more injuries in practice than I have seen at bouts. Practices are very intense.
Okay, firstly, like, what kind of what kind of injuries do you see in the sport? I know, like, for the track that has, like, the sides to go up, I've seen women break their legs, their ankles, you know, just craziness like that. But you're the flat track, so I don't think you have that element of danger. What are those kind of injuries?
Injuries, I mean, they are common. This is a full contact sport. We do practice a lot of safety so that their injuries are minimalized. We wear a lot of protective gear, wrist guards, knee pads, elbow pads, mouth guards, and helmets.
Yeah.
So we do have a lot of gear on, and a lot of the penalties are there to stop us from hurting people. Like, if I backblock somebody and hit them square in the back, that's going to cause their neck to rock back and forth, and that's dangerous. That's why that is a penalty. So most of the penalties are there for safety reasons. I can't elbow people. That is a penalty.
Oh, that does sound like it sucks.
But I do, you know, wrist and ankle injuries because you're on skates. So yeah. If you step wrong.
And so the injuries, have you seen or had one that's really, like, difficult to come back from? Or are they just kind of like you sprained your ankle, you're out for a few weeks to
let it heal? It can be hard to come back from an injury because if you, let's say you hurt your ankle, when you're skating on your ankle, you're putting pressure on that ankle.
Yeah.
So sometimes you can get injuries where you can't come back from it, or if you fall on your knee too hard. Or if you have spine problems because you're getting hit in the back constantly and you're getting hit in the sides constantly.
Yeah, that's...
So if you have a neck or a spine problem, this is probably a sport that is not a good idea for you because it can aggravate that.
Well, so how did you get into the derby and how do ladies go about doing that?
It is a co-ed sport. Okay. There's not any male teams... in Tulare County. I want to say Fresno might have one. Fresno, California.
But there are male...
there's refs and there's NSOs, refs. Non-skating officials. But yeah. I went to a couple of bouts and I was following the Derby, V-Town Roller Derby on Facebook. And they're always posting like, oh, come to practice, just bring a mouth guard, try it out. And I'm like, oh, whatever. That's not going to happen. And I went to a couple bouts and I'm like, this looks like fun. Like, I want to try this. I bet I can do that. So every November they have a clinic that's free. Yep, show up, bring a mouth guard just like every other time, but they kind of advertise it a little bit more. So I showed up, brought some friends in a mouth guard and skated around and had a blast. Met some really, really cool people. And
very interesting ladies. I'm not going to lie. There are some very interesting
yes,
ladies.
Yes, yes. Very, very friendly. Everyone's yes. very welcoming. In the, yeah. There's a really good sense of community in the derby world.
So from the time that you got into the Derby Darlings, mm-hmm. The organization, to the time that you were promoted to, public relations, how long did that take? Like, what was the process for that, too?
Well, I try to go to as many practices as I'm able to go to, and I really liked being involved with the team, and we had some council positions opened up. I wanted to stay involved with the team and become more involved with the actual going-ons of what, about production and practices and all that stuff. I really liked it, want to become more involved. So there were a couple council positions opened up, so I ran for public relations.
And is it just the ladies within the team that vote for
yes,
you?
Yes, yes. You have to be a dues-paying member.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you mind, how much are the dues?
So, Derby can be very expensive. We pay, not all teams have an indoor spot to practice. A lot of teams practice outside or on baseball courts or not baseball, basketball courts or wherever they can find a space. We are very fortunate to have Roller Town. So rain or shine, we can always practice.
Yeah.
We practice 3 nights a week and we pay $45 a month to rent out that space to be able to practice in it.
Is that per
skater?
It's per skater.
Per skater, $45 a month.
And does that include having the bout there?
No.
Or the bouts?
The team takes care of that. Because we are a nonprofit organization. We do a lot of fundraising, and a lot of the donations go towards bout production and helping us rent out the space and be able to throw a bout.
That is actually awesome. I saw some of the things you were doing. You were collecting food and mm-hmm. and that you guys seem to always do that. Is it predominantly you guys trying to help out the community when
yes.
you do that?
Or every bout we do, we have a nonprofit organization that we are raising money for. So
is it always different?
It's different every time.
Okay.
So the last home bout we had, we did Food Link, and we collected canned food donations, and also all the money that we made on the raffle prizes went to that organization.
Did you get a count of how much you raised for that organization?
I don't have the exact number, but it's usually over 700.
High five. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. I've met a couple people that do nonprofits, work with them. Mm-hmm. A couple musicians out of Fresno. There's a gentleman from Hanford that was a director for a movie. He actually tried to help out a gentleman from Hanford that was a homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And that gentleman actually got his life together. And nice. He now lives in Fresno, full job, you know, all the works and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really good to see that people can do that. I mean, you know, it's awesome to see other people helping other people.
So not only are we a nonprofit organization, but we also donate a lot to nonprofits in the area. So we like to give back in our community, and we like to be involved in the community as much as possible.
Yeah, you guys have your faces out there pretty predominantly. Mm-hmm. I know 104.1 played spots for you guys for a while and everything. Do you know what the goals are for this next year for you guys? Is it just to get rankings and get up there and get more well-known?
Well, not just get ranked, but get rankings, but it's really about bettering ourselves and bettering each individual player and be better than you were last year and just have fun with the sport. And the rankings are, I mean, that's an extra positive that's there, because now we can play bouts and we can prove, hey, we're a good team. Look at all of our winnings. Look, we're a good team. Because it's getting to where to get rankings, you have to play other WFTDA teams. So now that we are a WFTDA team, we have more teams that we're able to actually play against.
Is there a point where you guys will have to travel, like, out of the state and
we're going to Hawaii in 2016.
That is wonderful. Can I tag along? I'm not lying. I want to go see the Black Sand Beach. Yeah. You guys can do your thing. I'll be at the beach sipping an umbrella drink.
Yeah, we have, I can't remember which team. I want to say it's Pacific Roller Girls, but that could be wrong. That's coming this summer. They're playing like a Saturday morning bout with us just because they're going to be coming over. So they want to be playing as many WFTDA teams as they can while they're stateside.
Okay.
For their rankings, of course.
Yeah.
So since they're going to come play us, then we're going to go over there and we're going to play them next summer.
So do you guys, like, try to, like, with the fundraising, get the money and kind of go on a tour of all of these teams when you're able to do it?
We would definitely love to. I mean, that's, you know, that's the goal. Fundraising's always very important. It's very hard because we are a skater-ran team. So it's the players themselves put quite a bit of money into the team. You know, we buy all the raffle basket prizes, unless we can get some donated, of course. You know, we come, you know, before the bout to set up for everything. We stay afterwards to clean up, and we rent out the space. So it's not, it's definitely a lot of work put in by the actual skaters on the team. The good thing about WFTDA is that there's, like, the championships, and there's, you know, state and regional championships that we can get into. Last year, they had some in Sacramento that were really, really good.
So, what region would you be part of? Is it just California, or is it like...
It's not just California. There's West Coast? Couple different states. I don't know the exact states. Okay. But you can go to the WFTDA website, I think it's WFTDA.org, and look all that up. Oh, and we're going to be at Battle for the Coast in a couple of weeks, and that's going to be streamed live on WFTDA.tv.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool. You're going to be an internet TV star.
Yeah. Not me. I'll be on the sidelines. I'm a darling. So it'll be a lot of the dames that we had that played this weekend's tournament will be at the Battle for the Coast tournament.
So on that subject, too, I've been wondering this. You have the two teams.
Mm-hmm.
What constitutes, like, a promotion into the dames?
Skill level?
A lot of
our dames have been playing for a long time. I mean, we have girls that have only been playing for a couple of years, but then we also have girls that have been playing for 5, 6, 7 years.
Are most of the darlings the ladies that started the organization to begin with? Because I know the dames started a few years back, and I know that they did a few bouts here and there, and I wasn't really following it, but there, I know the girls started that. Are there still some from that original?
There are people on the dames and on the darlings that have been around for a long time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you want to advance into the dames, or are you happy being the darling jammer that you are?
Oh, well, I would definitely like to advance, but I'm just not at that skill level yet. It does take a lot of time, and it's not easy.
I saw some of those moves.
They hit hard.
I saw some of those moves. What's her name? Hallelujah?
Hallelujah is a fantastic jammer.
She was, like, on one skate, gets, like, pivoting in craziness. I didn't know, like... I thought she would fall, like, three times if she got through.
It's a lot of body control and knowing where your body is at.
And she's pretty skinny, and she's kind of...
Yeah, she's about my size.
Yeah, she's pretty agile.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
She's been playing for a while now, a couple years now.
And is she predominantly jammer, too?
She is. She is the A-team jammer.
Okay, so how did you decide that you wanted to be just a jammer? Because I know that was your capacity up until, like, halfway through your bout. And then you change to, I believe, a blocker or...
We do whatever coach tells us to do. Pretty much. And we trust our coach, and he's led us to where he has. So, I would say when you're in practice, you notice that you're either better at blocking people or you're better at endurance and getting hit and getting back up and being able to keep going.
Yeah.
So whatever you find that's easier for you or that you enjoy more. I enjoy jamming a lot more than I do blocking. I mean, I'll do both. I block still. I don't think I'm very good at it. But, I mean, I definitely do it. But then there's a lot of other people that, you know, I don't see how you can jam. I'd much rather be a blocker. And that's good. I'm glad because I don't want to block.
Well, that's like you've met my friend James.
Yeah.
He'll constantly tell me when he sees me playing the drums, he's like, how do you do that? Like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And then he picks up a guitar and I'm like, dude, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's different people for different things, right?
It's just finding that skill or that niche that you really fit into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
but there are players that like to jam and they like to block. So it just kind of depends on what makes you comfortable.
And are there players that haven't yet experienced both of the positions? That just are set on, okay, I'm blocker, I'm decent at this, I will not jam, you cannot make me.
They would like to, but our coach likes us to be very well-rounded. So we start lining up, and we start doing drills, and he's like, all right, I want to see everyone jam at least once.
All right, and your coach is I don't know him.
Yes.
But I just want to ask, is he like one of those coaches that you see in the movies that gets really, really intense and starts throwing things and cussing and all that craziness?
I have not personally seen him in all that craziness. I mean, he is he's very quiet. But he is a fantastic coach. He really is, yeah. He's definitely there for us. And let's say he sees something happening on the track that he doesn't like, he's going to let us know, or he's going to call a timeout, and he's going to get things figured out.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
So your gear for the derby, skating and everything,
mm-hmm.
you said that you need wrist guards,
yes.
elbow pads, knee pads,
mm-hmm.
helmet. But the thing that I really like interests me is the skates.
Yes.
They're like those old 50 skates that you would see at the diners.
They're quads.
They're called quads.
Yes, they're called quads.
I only know inline skates and that's it.
No, they're quads, speed skates. They can be extremely pricey, and there's a lot to your skate. You got the boot, you got the plate, you got your wheels.
Okay, so the plate is what attaches the wheels to the...
Yes, the plate is what attaches your wheels to the boot itself.
Okay.
So, like, when you go and you buy your skates, you could buy the kind of boot you want, you can buy the kind of plate you want, and the kind of wheels you want.
Is that one of those things... Please don't take offense.
No, go for it.
You know how ladies have the accessories and they're constantly interchanging clothes and jewelry? Do you guys find yourself doing that with your skates? Yes, definitely.
Well, the most thing is like the wheels.
Okay.
Because wheels are very... And it's hard to do this because every little piece of this is very expensive.
Yeah, I know from... I believe it or not, I used to skateboard.
Mm-hmm.
And those wheels, they're annoying.
So there's a lot of different kinds of wheels you can get. You can get wheels that are shorter or taller or thicker or thinner. The most important thing, I think, in wheels when you're buying them is what durometer you want. Durometer is the hardness of your wheel.
Okay.
So the higher the durometer, the harder the wheel. The softer the durometer, the softer, or the lower the durometer, the softer the wheel.
Okay.
So let's say I'm going to be doing some outdoor skating, and I just want soft wheels. I'm going to be skating on, like, pavement. I'm going to get like a, I think I have my outdoor wheels are like 70, 78 or 76 durometer.
Okay.
The wheels that I use for our sports court track are a 93 durometer.
Okay.
Because of my size, I can't really go higher than that. Because you want to do a hard wheel on a soft surface or a soft wheel on a hard surface.
Okay.
So let's say you have a hard wheel on a hard surface, you're going to have a lot more slide.
So you'll slide sideways if you're moving?
Yes, and I'll have less control.
Oh, okay.
Because you want to be a little bit softer so you have more control.
Yeah.
But let's say if you're a bigger person, you're going to want a harder wheel.
Okay.
But since I'm not a big person, if I have a harder wheel, I'm just going to slide off the track when I'm trying to do my corners.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
All right. So, also there's that little, it's called gumball?
Toe stops. Toe stops. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Are they part of the whole accessory thing
There's different brands of toe stops, different sizes of toe stops. Me being a jammer, I'm on my toe stops a lot, and I use gumballs right now, but I'm thinking about changing to something else because I'm going through them really fast.
Okay.
Because they're just getting worn down.
So, with all of this, I know there's brands and mm-hmm. companies and everything. Is there one brand that you found that you're like, this is my brand? This is what I will use, rain, sun, shine, whatever, this is mine.
Well, I've only ever used Riedel's.
Riedel?
Yes. So, my first skates I had the R3, like, beginner package.
Okay.
Right now, I'm skating on the Wicked Riedel, the Wicked package. I can't remember what number. It's like the Riedel 295. I want to say the boot's called.
Okay.
I have the Rival plates on my the Rival plates on my boot, and I skate on Radar Diamond wheels.
Do you have to actually put in the bearings for the wheels? Is that a different company, or do they come with the wheels?
I bought a skate package, so my bearings actually came with the whole entire package.
Okay. Okay.
I kind of want to get new bearings, because a couple of them are sticking a little bit. I'm going to try to clean them, see if that helps.
Yeah.
But then the wheels I use, they're a little bit thinner, and they have aluminum hubs.
Okay.
And pulling bearings that have aluminum hubs is shitty.
Sounds like you're gonna be in your kitchen. Yeah. Damn you!
Yeah, pretty much.
Get out of your home!
Yeah, it sucks to have to change out bearings out of those things. I love the wheels. The wheels I have right now, I really liked. I used Radar tuners before, and I didn't really like them that much.
Okay.
They're a little thick and bulky, so I got a little bit of a more streamlined wheel, and I like it a lot better.
So, what material are the wheels made out of? Is it all consistent or, through the hardness?
You know what? I'm not sure. I want to say it is. I would think it would be. But I don't know what they're made out of.
I know in the beginning when skateboards were starting to come around, mm-hmm. they used clay wheels. And that, I don't know if they did that in rollerblades or roller skates.
Yeah.
But I know they did that in skateboards in the beginning.
I'm not really sure. All I know is I want to use the kind of durometer. That's what I look at most, is durometer and the thickness of the wheel and how wide it is.
So do you go through the organization to get your equipment, or do you go through like Roller Town or possibly like Big Five or somewhere like that?
I wouldn't go to Big Five. We normally go through Roller Town because they have all the catalogs of the different skates. So let's say you want Bont skates, or you want Riedel skates, or you want Antic skates.
Okay.
You can get all that through Roller Town. And one of the people that worked there used to play for us.
Okay.
So Angela's there. She's great. So we go talk to her and be like, hey, I kind of want this, and I like this, and she kind of helps us pick things out. But you can also go online. There's a lot of skate companies out there.
And do you guys, by chance, it's a fun question.
Okay.
Do you get a discount for being in the Derby rather than being somebody just wanting to skate in good skates?
We do get a discount in the skate shop.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
It is nice. It's not a whole lot, but, you know, it covers tax. So that definitely helps out.
Yeah, the tax is killer. California sucks.
Yeah.
Maria and I just met this couple at breakfast a couple days ago. They were from Oregon.
No sales tax there.
No. And they were telling us, they were like, yeah, we got a 3-bedroom, 2-car garage, like 1,900 square feet or something like that. And they're like, yeah, it was only $160,000 and we're right on the beach. I'm like, what? Like, are you kidding me?
Yep.
That is ridiculous.
Next time I go to Oregon, I'm going to stock up on all my skating gear.
I think I need to do that with the studio gear. That's it gets expensive.
Yeah.
My goodness.
I believe
I can
you.
Only imagine, because that, like, a whole different thing. You're in sports. The music thing is just outrageous.
Yeah.
And they're trying to kill me. I'm telling you they are. All right, so so how are you guys promoting currently? Like, I know, like we said earlier, you had the radio spots, but
we do things with a couple different radio stations. One of a couple different of our council members, they're really good friends with, I think Hammer over at 104.1. So they're usually pretty good at getting on there, and the radio station's really good about promoting us. They really help us out a lot.
Yeah, I heard a lot, and especially in the beginning, it was. I don't really listen to radio anymore, but in the beginning, it was almost every, at least once or twice an hour.
Yeah, it's usually a week before the bout, they'll start promoting us.
That's really cool. Do you do the newspapers or any of that kind of thing?
We do contact local newspapers. We were in Valley Voice at the end of last season, which is a local newspaper. We were in the Visalia Times Delta about a month ago.
Okay.
We also, you know, we're always trying to contact people that do the local magazines. Just, you know, hey, if you ever want to do a spot on us, we'd love to be interviewed by you. Come to a practice. Come check it out. A lot of it's very grassroots. We do a lot of postering and flyering around town. A lot of word of mouth. We're very active on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter.
Hmm. I actually know that because I had to help you find a word. I don't know how it happened, but I was actually on there and I saw that post and I was like, I helped with that one.
Nice.
All right. So you were talking about the camaraderie earlier and, you know, the friendship and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Maria were invited to your after party at Howie and Sons, and everybody was really cool, really kind, just really happy, even with both teams.
Oh, yeah. No, we beat each other's asses during the bout and then hang out afterwards and drink together. And, oh, you hit me so hard. And, oh, I know, it was fun. I hit you so hard. Like, it's nice, you know?
Yeah.
It's the kind of sport where you get hit and you get knocked on your ass and it hurts, but then you want to get up and, like, you want to tell the person what a good hit it was.
See, and that's one of the reasons why I liked it, because I've seen that at metal concerts, too.
Yeah.
And that's one of my favorite things about metal is, like, you were with us at Knotfest.
Yes.
You saw those pits. You saw the craziness.
It was intense.
Yeah, but if somebody falls down, the crowd picks them back up and do it again. And you can see people that got in a fight in the pit, and they shake hands after the song, and they're like, all right, that was that. Let's do this again.
Yeah.
And I saw that.
It's very much like that.
Yeah, it made me really happy because, you know, there's only certain things that can be done that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it, with all of you ladies so happy, and you guys were so damn loud.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't until people started fading out and
there's a certain sound and a smell to a Derby Girls. They're very loud, and you could smell them coming into a room.
That could be said about Portuguese, too. You guys still haven't beat the drunk Portuguese at my friend Matt's wedding.
We'll have to try harder.
I don't know if you can. There was free booze there.
Ooh, okay.
Free booze with Portuguese is bad. but you guys, there was also, I just happened to win one of the prize packs from one of the breweries.
Mm-hmm.
And Buma told me that you got, they had given you stuff to promote. Does that happen often, like local breweries and people?
Riley's is a local brewery, and they are one of our sponsors.
Out of Madera, right?
I'm not sure. They're somewhere in, like, the Fresno area.
It's an M city around here.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them.
Yeah. So, Riley's Brewing sponsors us. We got a really, really big sponsorship from Budweiser. They really helped us out. They donated to us. They provide our beer garden and our bouts.
Wow.
And they paid for all of our uniforms.
Does that mean they, like, provide a keg or two that you can have that?
I wish.
Oh, wow.
No, but they, Budweiser has helped us out quite a bit. Again, you know, Riley's Brewing. We have a lot of different companies around town that donate to us.
I don't even remember that Riley's beer, but that beer was so good.
Sancha. Yes.
Okay, I've got it recorded now, so I want to make sure I remember that. Yeah, I'm going to call them and be like, hey, send me a keg.
They're pretty good about doing, like, tap takeovers whenever we do an after party, and they'll raffle off glasses and stuff.
Yeah, it was like $5, and you get a pint of beer and the glass to take home. It was amazing.
It's pretty cool.
So, your other sponsors, can you talk about them, actually?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So every time you come to a bout, you get a program handed to you at the front door that tells you a little bit about the teams that you're going to be seeing, gives you a schedule, and then it has all of our sponsors are listed in that program. So we have, I think, some of our bigger sponsors. There's Riley's Brewing. There's Budweiser. You have... Quality Paint and Body out of Tulare in Porterville. They're a big sponsor for us. Dollar Bill Auto Sales.
Okay.
Out of Visalia is a pretty big sponsor for us. And we have a lot of little sponsors because you don't have to donate a whole lot. KRC Graphics is a sponsor for us.
Don't they sponsor your penalty box?
So every bout there's a penalty box sponsor, which I think if you're going to sponsor us, that's one of the best investments you can make, because girls are constantly going to the penalty box. So if you want to be a penalty box sponsor, your business gets named every time someone gets sent to the penalty box.
Can you give me figures for that or
prices? We're definitely looking for more sponsors. I mean, it ranges from $50 up to $500 plus. Yeah.
That's a lot of money. Oh, and something else. Okay, finish off. Do you have any more sponsors?
I have quite a few. I don't have a listing with me right now.
Okay.
But you can always look those up on our website. They're also at our on our programs at all of our bouts.
Okay.
We're always looking for more.
the bout shouts.
Yes.
Or the shout bouts, whatever they are.
So during the bout, for $1, you can give a bout shout out to one of your favorite players. Or anything. It could be something stupid. It doesn't matter. You pay $1 and they'll shout something out over the intercom.
That's awesome.
It is.
I love that idea. I mean, if you see a player
getting their butt kicked and they're getting up and they're fighting and they're doing a good job, you can, I want to give a bout shout to this person. Good job. Or...
And who do you give that to? Do you walk directly to the box for the announcers?
There's usually somebody walking around selling bout shouts. There's just someone selling raffle tickets and somebody selling bout shouts.
And who are the announcers?
The announcers are usually either players or somebody involved with the team. Everybody that helps out for a bout, they're usually volunteers. Except for the Roller 10 employees, nobody's getting paid for this stuff. We're just kind of doing it because we like to.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So let's say you want to be involved with V-Town, but you don't want to be a skater. You can be a ref. But so you don't want to be on skates, and refs we will train you to be a ref, because you got to know all the rules, and there's a lot of rules.
Do you have like one of those books that makes the table shake?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh wow.
We're trying to be eco-friendly, so you can look it all up online. But there's a lot of rules. But let's say you don't want to do that, you can be an NSO, which is a non-skating official.
Okay.
So let's say you time the girls in the penalty box. You can do lineup tracker, scorekeeping. There's a lot of NSO jobs you can do, because especially now that we're a whiffed at a team, we have to keep paperwork on everything that happens. So every penalty you get gets marked down. Every lineup gets tracked.
Does that go against you, the penalties?
No.
No?
No, it happens. I mean, if you're a player and you get too many penalties, you'll get ejected from the game.
Wow.
I can't remember how many penalties you have to get because I've never gotten it. But I try not to get penalties.
I would do it just to see how far I could push.
How far? Well, it's on the board. You can, when you're sitting in the penalty box, if you look in the middle of the track, there's a giant whiteboard.
Yeah.
And it kind of tracks all the different penalties, and you can see your name.
But it points towards the skaters, not the crowd.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. That's fine.
The first time that I saw them, there was actually a band playing in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Through most of the set, or most of the time. Do you guys still do that?
We're actually, that's something that we work on as far as bout production and what we're going to have during halftime.
Yeah.
Halftime's not very long, so we don't always have a whole lot of time to get something going. I know the last bout, I think it was a superhero theme, So we had Roller Town employees dressed up as superheroes, and we love crowd participation.
Yeah.
So we got kids from the crowd to push the superheroes around the track.
Yeah.
And the winning superhero, the kids that pushed them, got like prizes.
Yeah, but he cheated.
We all saw him. Robin cheated?
Yes, no. He cheated. Yeah, he cheated. I thought it was hilarious because I didn't know that it was dress up like a superhero day.
Yeah.
And I usually dress in the Marvel shirts or something like that. And I had Thor on, and the guy had taken my ticket. He's like, "Nice shirt, dude." I'm like, "Yeah, it's Thor. Of course it's nice." And then I walk in and I see like the Green Lantern and like Captain America. I was like, "This is the greatest thing ever." It was completely by accident, but I did it.
Yeah, we try to keep the bouts very fun, and like I said, we love crowd participation. So any way we can get the attendees involved, we try to do that because that makes it even more fun for everybody.
Yeah. All right. So during the bouts, you guys have music playing.
Yes.
And this whole podcast idea came about because I'm a musician, love mm-hmm. music. So what is the song that when you hear that play, is it, well, firstly, is it in regular rotation?
No.
Secondly, when you hear it, what is that song that gets you going, okay, I am going to demolish these ladies and then possibly shake their hand later?
Anything Fast Beat. Honestly, when you're on the track, you're not really hearing anything else. Like,
really?
It's always, you get... every time, day of the bout, like, my stomach's a mess, I'm like, I have the shakes, I'm having panic attacks. As soon as I get on that track, the crowd goes away. Everything goes away, you're just worried about winning, about, you know, scoring the most points and stopping their jammer.
For you, is it adrenaline, or is it like
tunnel
vision?
Oh, it's totally. It's both.
See,
because you get up there and you start shaking, you're like, oh my god, what am I going to do? Am I going to do this, or am I going to do this?
See, for me, when I would play the drums and I'd be on stage, it was like going over like train tracks. You know how you feel your stomach go
up?
It'd be like that the entire time I'm setting up or getting ready to play the show. Mm-hmm. Once I sit down, there's no other thing other than me and the drums.
Yes.
And that is where I shine. I truly believe I can't talk to people in like a like an official status, like up on a stage. I can't talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
I stumble and I act like a retard and you know, all that craziness. You put me behind drums and that's where I'll show you who I am.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. Like, there's some people I know just don't get that. They're good at that kind of thing and they can keep that under wraps. But when you have that, I completely understand what you're talking about.
Yes, because you're so nervous and you're so anxious, but as soon as you get on the track and the whistle blows, all your training from all the practices that you've been to, everything just kind of clicks.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's all about practice and muscle memory and you know, it's about that discipline, and that's what's great about that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But is it an addiction for you?
Totally.
It is?
Yes.
Okay, because I've always told people, like, the stage is my drug.
Yeah.
That I can quit everything, I can do all that, but if I never get on stage again, I would be crushed.
Yeah, no, it's what we practice for and look forward to, and I hate it and I love it because I get anxiety like the whole week before. I'm so nervous about it and I'm stressing out about it, but then it happens and like, oh, this is fun, let's do this again.
Yeah, but then at the end you're like, oh, damn it.
As soon as it's over, I'm like, no, I'm not done playing.
Yeah,
what do you
mean? Still got so much more.
Yeah,
Let's go till 3 a.m.
Let's just keep skating.
We paid for this. Come on, let's do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely understand. Yeah. I hated going away from that because it was such a high and the adrenaline and everything, especially when it was a decent performance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that last... The last derby that I saw you guys, I know you took a fall and everything, but it was actually really fun.
It was a ton of fun.
It was one of those things where it was kind of suspenseful because I still didn't understand the sport, but it was like you guys kept me engaged because I was like, oh, wow, these ladies are not messing around.
Yeah.
Like, these are the people you need to fear in a dark alley, not the other way around.
Totally.
These ladies will beat your ass.
No, they definitely will.
Yeah.
They will.
For you, who's your favorite player to watch? And is there one that inspired you to get better or practice different techniques or something like that?
As a jammer, I like to watch the other jammers.
Is that just encompassing all jammers, or is that like just specific ones?
I talk a lot to Bergie Knights, who's an 18 jammer. And she is so good. She's so quick on her feet. She actually, we were in the Dust Bowl tournament this weekend down in Bakersfield, and she won best jammer in the entire tournament.
Oh, congratulations.
And that's out of 10 different teams.
Wow. Wow, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, a 3-day tournament.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that is awesome, dude. I can't stress that enough. That's
so
great.
She's definitely someone I look up to, and I watch what she's doing, and she's so good at positioning her body and moving her feet, and she can take a hit, absorb it, and give it right back.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great, too.
But all of our A-Team jammers are really like watching Jess and what's Jess's? Lady Rage.
Yes,
and
yes.
Dayspring. No, Dayspring's her real name. Lady Rage and Hallelujah. I like watching Lady Rage and Hallelujah jam as well, because they're both smaller. So I like to be on the watch. Okay, so they're small. They're about my size. What are they doing to be so awesome? Like, what are they doing to getting through? What are they doing to not get knocked over?
So do you guys run scrimmages in practice?
We do.
Like A-Team versus B-Team?
We do.
You do?
We'll start off with a mix, to where it's like a mix, because it all depends on how many people show up to practice, if we can scrimmage or not.
Okay.
Sometimes we don't have enough people to just have B scrimmages.
Yeah.
I mean, if we can, we do, but then Coach likes to challenge us. He's a great coach. So he'll start doing B against A, or a mix of A and B against A and B, and it's very hard and it's very challenging, but at the same time, that's how we're going to get better.
Well, see, that's a great philosophy. Like, for me in music, I believe that you're not on par with somebody, or you're not above somebody. And to be a great musician or a great sports, you know, athlete, you should always try to raise the other people up. Try to be better than them, but raise them up with you.
No, because I know we have really hard-hitting players. So yeah. if I can take a hit from Mia, if I can take a hit from Buma and keep going,
yeah,
I know that I can take a hit from whatever anybody else has to throw at me.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
All right, so before we wrap this up, what is the hardest game or team that you've experienced in your derby career?
Well, I've only been playing, you know, I've only been playing for a year and a half. I've only been on the roster, actually. I wasn't even on the roster for all of last year, because I just started playing November in 2013, and I don't even think I made roster till the second bout of the year last season. So, because to make roster, you have to pass skills and show that you can actually be able to play and be safe on the track.
Okay.
And let's say there's a lot of people fighting for a roster position.
Yeah.
You may not make roster if there's other people that are better than you.
Wow.
So, for me, every team's been really challenging. It's all been really hard. This last bout, I think, was the first time where I was going through and I was actually feeling like, okay, everything that we've been practicing, everything that I learned from last year's bouts are clicking, and it's all working, and we're working together, and the blockers are doing everything that we've been practicing.
Yeah, like I said, it was a great bout. It was a fun time.
Yeah.
I was so happy to be able to do it. I didn't think I was going to be able to.
Yeah.
It sucked.
Yeah.
So, one last question, and then we'll get into the plugs and all that. So, when you have your friends show up, you usually give us our nicknames on the tickets. And the people at the stands they're phenomenal, because I ask and they won't judge you per se. Okay, but everybody knows me as Ogre. I've used the name Ogre on this podcast because that's, you know, deals with music.
Yeah.
But not a lot of people know that one of my best friends is Hamster, mm-hmm. and his fiance is Courtney, but I gave her the name Corn Dog,
which I love.
It's such an amazing nickname. I wish we had time to go through that.
I know.
But you actually put Hamster and Corn Dog on their tickets?
I did. So when they came for will call to get their tickets, they had to ask for tickets for under the names Hamster and Corn Dog, because I go by my derby name, by my alias when I'm on the track.
Yeah.
I think it's fun. It's fun. It makes it like when you get in that zone and you have that other name, your persona, you can just kind of shine with it.
Yeah.
And it's just fun.
It's a wonderful thing to have that nickname, because that nickname can get away with a lot of things that your other one can't.
I mean, there's a lot of derby girls where when I first started for, you know, 6 months to a year, I didn't know their real name. I just knew their derby name, because that's what everybody goes by.
Okay, so did they tell you about how Hamster and Corn Dog, they were sitting and you were in a bout with one of the derby ladies from the other team. Her name was Corndog.
Yeah.
And so Corndog thought that it was a joke. That you had made the announcers just say Corndog every once in a while.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was telling me about that.
Oh, and that's so hilarious.
So apparently every time she would say Corndog, or the announcer would say Corndog, she'd go, damn it.
Corny thought we were talking about her? That's yes. Ben. That's the best thing ever.
And then I guess like halfway through, she actually figured out. She saw the name on the back of the
jersey.
Shirt.
Yeah.
And he was telling me about this, and I was rolling. It's so easy to make fun of that girl.
Yeah.
So easy. She does it to herself half the time. Oh, man. It's a great time. Sorry. But... All right. So, now... When are your bouts? I know they're on Saturdays, but...
Yes, they're always on Saturdays. We normally have a home bout about every other month.
Okay.
Our next home bout is May 2nd. Okay. Doors open at 5. Darlings play, it's a team in Long Beach. They're called Badfish Roller Derby.
Nice.
And, then we play them at 5:30. And then at 7:30, the Dames are playing Pacific Coast Recycled Rollers, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And, what are your, how can people get a hold of you or keep in touch with you guys?
The best thing is we're very active on social media.
Okay.
So I would say Facebook. I mean, we usually do Facebook updates just about every day.
Okay.
Instagram, I try to do at least every other day. So there's always updates going on social media. Roller Town, we're there three. We have practice Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Sunday and Tuesday practices are 8:30 to 10:30. Wednesday practice is 7:30 to 10:00 at night. So yeah, we put in a lot of time.
So
if anybody wants to show up and they want to try reffing, or they want to try NSOing, or they want to try skating, just show up, bring a mouth guard. We have all the loaner gear. If you want to come check out a bout, next home bout's May 2nd. Like us and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for your time.
All right, thank you.
It's been fun.
It always
is. I really
enjoyed
talking about the Dames. And is there anything last you would like to say?
No, just come check us out. See what it's all about. It's always a fun time. You have to go. Nobody ever go to the after party. The after party is almost the best part.
So amazing. I truly, that was one of my favorite parts of the night.
Yeah, it's
just hanging out and talking to everybody.
I really like to where you're on the track and you're battling out with the team, and then you could hang out with them afterwards and talk about it. It's so much fun.
All right, so I do have one last question.
Yes, go for it, please.
Okay, the Derby Delinquents?
Yes. Oh, we do have a junior derby team.
Really? Do they actually skate up and, like, knock into each other?
They do contact and non-contact, depending on their skill level and their size. Because we have, like, seven, 8-year-olds that are playing. They're really small.
Yeah, but have you ever pissed off a 7-year-old?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
They're brutal.
You have some that their skill level's on a non-contact level, so they're only doing positional blocking.
Okay.
So they're not hitting. They're just getting in the way.
Okay.
We also have ones that are doing contact level. And our... I'm not involved a whole lot with the delinquents. I want to say it's like 7 or 8 to age 17.
Nice.
But they travel all over the place also.
That's really awesome. Yeah. I know a few people that do the whole travel baseball thing and travel soccer, and that's really annoying.
No. And the kids love it, and they're so good at it, and there's some players I'm like, oh, I can't wait till they're 18. I can't wait till we can absorb them.
Do you actually, the games, is there going to be a point where the delinquents are before the darlings?
We have had bouts where the junior derby team, our delinquents, play before us.
Okay.
We did a away bout in, began with an H, it was by the coast. Somewhere, anyways. We did an away bout somewhere where the junior derby team opened for us. So we brought our junior derby team, and they brought their junior derby team, and the juniors battled it out before us. It just kind of depends.
That's really awesome. That's
you'll see a lot of the times the junior derby games are before an adult game.
Are those little ladies, are they like daughters of the Derby
dames? That and just members of the community. Our junior Derby team is co-ed.
Okay.
So there are boys and girls.
Yeah.
And they're really good. But there's some that are daughters and sons of players. A lot of them aren't, though. They're just kids in the community, the rink rats from Roller Town, that wanted to play roller derby.
Rink rats.
Yeah.
So great.
And our the junior derby team practices every Saturday morning at Roller Town.
That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I will not keep you anymore. I really appreciate your time.
Anytime.
And your effort. It was fun. Thank you very much.
Is.
And, yeah, good luck on all of the future dealings with the Derby Dames.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
And there you have it. That was number 3.14, Activist. Very fun to talk and learn about Derby ladies, and all of that good stuff. I'm really looking forward to seeing how the V-Town ladies do this season. Keep up with them through social media. You heard all the links before. Go back, check them out. Really, go. Try to make it to one of these if you're in the area, because it's really, really fun time. For me, remember to comment, rate, subscribe, and add the Local Music Revolution at localmusicrevolution.bandcamp.com, facebook.com/thelocalmusicrevolution, and for email purposes, thelocalmusicrevolution@gmail.com. Remember that I do answer all comments, emails, and messages. Thank you so much for all of your support, everyone that has supported me in making this podcast happen. You are awesome. Until next time, I am Ogar. This is the Local Music Revolution. Be good, everyone.